Hey there, Elizabeth.
Hey, Sheila. So we've been friends for what, nearly 14 years now?
I think about that. Yeah, although we've been really good friends for about half of that, but that's kind of a part of our story, isn't it?
It is. Well, at least for now, we're really good friends in large part because we've learned to be honest with each other. But it's not always perfect. Nevertheless, we're learning a lot by being imperfectly honest and thought you might too.
The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. In sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of the people involved.
Hey Sheila, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. So we both felt a little frustrated by a recent podcast episode on Armchair Expert about whether to wear shoes indoors. We thought we might talk about why we're frustrated about it and just some of the thoughts that came up after listening to that.
Yeah, no, I mean, as we both, I think, agreed, it's kind of an interesting topic, and there's a lot of different layers to it. And expressing our own opinion and why we think there are so many layers, and yeah, I think would kind of be interesting.
Well, I think for me, I was particularly frustrated for a few reasons. First, just to out my own head trash about it, I don't like people to wear shoes inside my house. I just get a very disgusting feeling when I think about all the dog poop and garbage and all those things that are on the sidewalk that people walk over and then bring into a house. And I feel very judged about the fact that I don't want people to wear shoes in my house. I have a hard time asking people not to wear shoes. And I realized after listening to this that I feel that there is this cultural understanding that it is rude to ask people to take their shoes off in your house. I feel that it is rude to insinuate that your opinion is more valid than the person who owns the home, first of
Right.
all.
Totally understand that. I'm going to interject a little bit here just because it's interesting to use the word cultural. Because as we talked about, and I think as the podcast that we listened to expressed, it is cultural. There are a lot of regions around the world where it would be an insult to come into someone's home with your shoes on.
Yeah.
A lot of it is kind of the Asian world, although Australia has that kind of persona. It's like I actually looked it up a little bit, and there's not a whole lot of rhyme or reason, although it seems as if like Europe is kind of split sometimes. Northern Europe, you keep your shoes on, and I wonder, is some of that like the cold?
Right.
And I'm right with you in terms of it's not just about the stuff that they're bringing in. That's why I said it's multi-layered. It's kind of this fight between who gets to pick what you do, especially when it's your home.
Right.
And it's an issue. This is what I was also thinking that is kind of rare because people disagree about all kinds of stuff, like what kind of food you should eat, what do you wear, et cetera. And most of that stuff can just remain very personal. This is something that can't, because you're making a decision, the guest who doesn't want to remove their shoes, to come into somebody's home and completely disrupt what's very important to them in a very physical way. And so many other choices people make, like even if a guest came and brought some food or like a dinner party or something, you don't have to eat it. You can pretend to eat whatever. But the shoe thing, like once they start walking in your house, it's game over.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I have any solution to that. I'm just saying that's why I think it's such an interesting and kind of polarizing issue.
Well, since you love analogies, I feel like there's an analogy to something that I experienced in my childhood that really bothered me, which was that people in my grandparents' generation who were friends with my family would make racist jokes. And I was taught that I was not allowed to say that's not appropriate, even though my parents taught me that it wasn't appropriate. I was not allowed to say anything because I was a kid and they were my elders and I was supposed to respect them. And I have had experiences not wearing shoes in my adult life where I've been told, like, don't ask grandma, not my grandma, but somebody in her generation, don't ask grandma to take her shoes off because that's just not how they did things. And you can't ask somebody to do that. It's like, well, why are we teaching our children that they should not be able to speak up when there's injustice? I think what really triggers me about this is I'm an Enneagram one, which means that I care a lot about rules and science and evidence-backed conclusions. And so when someone says, you can't do that just because it's rude or that's not the way that we do things, and then I present evidence of, like, it's one example, CBS Sunday Morning did this interesting thing about the debate of whether to wear shoes inside. And this person did this study, the contaminants in his home after not wearing shoes versus wearing shoes. And one of the things that he found is that there was actually lead that was tracked into his home continuously when he was wearing shoes.
I read that too. Yep.
Yeah.
Toxins, so, a lot of toxins besides E. coli, which is what everybody always thinks about.
Right. If you are someone who has a child and that child is crawling on the floor and there's lead on the floor, then why should we as a society say that it is rude for that person to have someone to take off their shoes?
One thing I'm hearing, and I know we've actually had a little bit of this, not in this context, discussion about the concept of that you were taught, as I was, when you were younger, respect your elders, even if they're doing something that's inappropriate or wrong. You can't call them out on it. It's just not done. It kind of does come from an age of the old children should be seen and not heard.
Yeah.
But it's difficult. And I think it will slowly peter out because that generation will feel put off is you know, aging. Not to say there aren't younger people coming up that have those same feelings, but it doesn't feel like it's as ingrained in our culture as it used to be. So I think your analogy was really kind of spot on because it is an oral assault when somebody is making those kind of statements and you have to sit there and not express what you're feeling. So when I said, you know, so many other things don't really impact, that does impact. So it was a good analogy. I think, and I've thought about this, and I'm not saying this is the major reason, but I think one of the reasons is you can't see it. You can read about it. You can hear about it. But if you were to approach an elder and say, you need to take your shoes off because you have toxins on the bottom of your shoes. I mean, if they were to walk in and, like, you could see on the carpet, like it was burning the carpet, or I don't know that they're going to dismiss it and say, I don't care that I'm bringing toxins in for your child to crawl around on. They're going to be like, yeah, really? I don't know. So unfortunately, I think that's in there too. Even though it's been proven over and over, you can't see it as easily as maybe you can see or hear other things. So the issue of should you or should you not wear shoes in your house, to me, is not the thing that both of us were reacting to. Because if that's a personal choice, and if it's your house, then there's not really any conflict there. It's when other people come in.
Yeah.
If you're somebody who entertains a lot and has friends coming all the time, or if you're somebody kind of like you, where even if you don't have people coming that often, even just a random time, has so much of an impact on you, which is valid. It's those situations, and you were correct. It's very difficult, especially for people in the United States, even if they believe they prefer people not to wear shoes in their home, to ask people not to wear shoes in their home. Less than like 30% will do it on a regular basis, even though they want to do it. Ugh. I don't know what it's going to take. If it's going to take more of hopefully a cultural shift in our country to recognize that we are prioritizing our own needs in somebody else's space.
Right.
I don't know what the pushback is in some of the cases you've run up against it when you felt judged and everything. But I mean, the solution is you provide slippers that have a little support, or you have nice socks. Like you provide something in your home that should counteract any argument. You know, some people, if they're not expecting it, they might push back just because they know they have a big hole in their sock or right. They're barefoot and they're like, oh my God, I think my feet are going to stink, you know, that kind of thing. But I think the cultures where it's very much accepted that this is the norm have addressed that. I mean, they have a chair near the door so that people don't feel like they're struggling to get the shoes off and standing there. They have a place to put the shoes. They have stuff to replace what you're taking off, either again, socks or even washable slippers. A lot of cultures have those, but that's something that we're just not used to.
Well, I think the other reason why I felt triggered by that particular conversation, so the premise of the conversation is there's a gentleman who's from New Zealand, mm-hmm. and he does these segments called Flightless Bird, where he talks about things that seem very strange to him in the U.S. as somebody from New Zealand. And so that's why he chose this, taking the shoes off. And some Americans were chiming in on his questioning why Americans wear shoes. And part of what was really bothering me is that the gentleman from New Zealand was kindly and objectively offering some reasons why he doesn't wear shoes in people's home. And I felt like those reasons were just completely undermined, isn't the right word? Yes. Discredited.
Minimized.
Just completely discredited.
Yeah.
And it made me feel a little bit like what I feel happens in our country with politics a lot, mm-hmm. in which there's evidence, there's science, there's a logical argument as to why a decision should be made. And people say, oh, that's just the left media, and they make a decision that's solely based on emotion.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you support what you believe and you dismiss anything that you hear that is not that, no matter what. I agree with you. I mean, climate change is, of course, a hugely analogous situation.
Yeah. And I mean, I do understand that sometimes you just have to trust your gut and that science changes. Mm-hmm. I'm in the process of trying to read this book called Boundless that's about how to optimize the human body. And it talks a lot about intermittent fasting, which is a hot topic right now. I was feeling like some of the science that they were presenting just didn't sync with my personal experience. Mm-hmm. So I was questioning it. And I listened to this woman who is a physician who has been doing a ton of research on intermittent fasting with women and was providing very strong evidence that intermittent fasting for women can actually cause some issues and may not be as effective as the studies are showing. And so it is hard sometimes to believe science. You know, we saw that also with wearing masks during the pandemic, like right. A cloth mask is helpful. And then a month later, it's worthless. But I think what really triggers me is when the evidence and the science just isn't even considered.
Or it's, as in this case, I mean, I agree with you on all the other issues you talked about, but this one, it is what it is. I mean, if you have somebody come and test and, you know, somebody comes in and then the stuff from the bottom of their shoes appears on the carpet, that's what it is. Like, you know, intermittent fasting, sometimes it can depend. There's a lot of factors. There's a lot of control factors, you know, because it is a physiological thing in terms of how things react inside of somebody's body. But this is kind of like an environment and it's tested. And yes, there's stuff on the bottom of the shoes that can be proven. That can't be debated. And then the stuff on the bottom of the shoes, as you walk, sloughs off. So the situations are similar that you're describing in terms of people just want to believe what they want to believe and will dismiss when they hear other evidence. This one's hard because it's a given, but you can't see it. And yeah, we are, I mean, I'm just going to give my own example, which it's not like I didn't believe it. I totally believed it, that we bring things in. It didn't bother me as much until I had a situation where I hadn't realized I'd stepped in something, which I think was like geese droppings, whatever, and came in my house and walked around for a while. And then I'm like, what is that? And it's the disgust factor. It just completely changed me. Like, I will not wear shoes in my house anymore just because that situation, it was like, it came home to me. I look on the bottom of my shoes and I'm like, whoa, I can see it. I can smell it. That's why I think it's kind of an uphill battle.
Yeah. Well, I think part of the reason why it is hard for some people to accept a strong no to wearing shoes in the home, because most of us have grown up wearing shoes in the home, if we're Americans. You know, I think about that a lot because, as you know, I struggle with OCD, disgust-based OCD, which means that thinking about, in a nutshell, thinking about things like someone walking in dog poop and walking into my house.
Well, that's why I actually use that word, and I use that situation because I knew it would not, I wasn't trying to get you going, but I figured it would really hit home with you.
Yeah. When you have OCD, it's not like you think, oh, that's gross, and you move on. You ruminate about it. You think about it for 4 days after. You can remember that someone walked with poop on their shoe in your house like 6 months after. And there's, you know, a lot of schools of recovery for OCD that say just learning to accept that stuff is the path to recovery. And you know, they say there's no way to totally get all those contaminants out of your house. And so you just learn to accept it. I feel like there's just certain things that I want to maintain as boundaries.
It's an easy fix. Somebody taking their shoes off is an easy fix. You're not asking them to go take a, you know, 15-minute shower whenever they come in your house. It's like, just take your shoes off and put them by the door, and that's it. And that's because that's kind of, you know, just again, all our conversations, knowing you, you've had some of these in the podcast. It's more than the OCD and the impact on you. It's people not respecting the impact. And I mean, it's such a personal thing because, I mean, yeah, occasionally you have people come in your home who you didn't invite, you know, the cable guy has to come or somebody has to repair something. But for the most part, these are like your friends or your family. And if such an important thing to you is not respected or minimized or rejected, whatever, I mean, that adds such a, like I said at the beginning, a layer to it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for me, it's an interesting exercise in my head. I don't have that many people come into my space, not because I'm a hermit or anything. It's just, I'm not confronted with it that often. When I am, I grapple with it. I do. Because it's like you said, it's this idea, I'm a people pleaser. do I want to kind of have the potential of pissing somebody off because I'm asking them to do this? And, you know, in a lot of the articles I read, they gave advice. First, you greet people very friendly. Like, you don't open the door and go, take those shoes off. You know, you bring them in to the front, whatever. And you're like, oh, it's so good to see you, whatever. And then you kind of introduce it. Oh, yeah. And this is kind of the rule in the house. You know, you can make a little bit of a joke. And here's the socks or whatever. And here's the chair to... And while it seems like that's an inordinate amount of effort to have to make in your own space, we do stuff like that all the time in order to maintain relationships. You know, we compromise, we accommodate in order to get kind of what we want, really.
Yeah. I want to dig into solutions and suggestions for how people can handle this situation, but I just kind of want to mention a couple things first. So I feel nervous that I mentioned OCD in this context because there are very reputable experts with OCD who will say just living with contaminants is the best path to recovery. And I don't want to be in the business of arguing with those experts who know a lot more about it than I do. And I also want to be honest about how I feel about this situation as someone with OCD, because for me, it's not just that I want people to take off their shoes. I also think about where have their socks been? And germs don't actually stick to soft surfaces as effectively as they do hard surfaces. So there's an argument that socks aren't as important. But I want people to wear particular shoes in my house. The point that I want to make is from someone who has OCD, I think for me, the thing that I have to balance is, in all honesty, I would just prefer for no one to ever come in my house. I would like that to be my totally sanitized, safe space. And I just have to find a happy medium there. And so I think part of the other reason why I feel so triggered is because for me, I feel like taking a step to find that happy medium, to have comfortable shoes that people can wear in my house so I can feel comfortable and they can feel comfortable, feels like a big leap. And when someone makes strong judgments about me asking somebody to do that, then I feel defensive. And I share this only because if you're someone who doesn't want to take your shoes off in someone's house or something, you just never know what's in the person's head. Like, during the pandemic, especially, I was terrified to let people into my
house. Yeah. A lot of people were. I mean, and especially, you know, I mean, you read so many stories, like, especially because they were some of the few that were actually out there. The healthcare workers, they would take everything they were wearing off and leave it outside the door, all their clothing, because they didn't want to bring it into their families. So I don't think that is unusual at all. And I think having gone through that and having read all of the stuff that wasn't just about COVID coming in the house, we got educated. And that's that's kind of why I think we're talking about this, because like, why are we going back? I mean, we know it's good for people to wear, you know, the blue paper mat, whatever. If you have a cold, if you have an infection and you're going out in public, wear the mask. I mean, again, cultures are different. Asian countries, I think you see people walking around all the time. When I lived in Seattle, it and I would be on a bus, and I don't want to sound like I'm categorizing a demographic, but more often than not, if people were wearing masks pre-COVID, it was a certain culture who was doing it, and they were being respectful.
Yeah.
And so some of it's kind of respect. I don't know if, I'm not trying to diss our country, but I don't know if we have, I mean, you alluded to the concept that respecting your elders means not calling them out on something that's you're so clearly being taught is wrong. I mean, I'm kind of leaning into respect of other people's feelings and the harm you can do to other people by your own actions. And from what I could hear when we first both of us listened to that podcast, and the way the reaction that he was getting, like you said, was like kind of dismissed. It wasn't respectful.
Yeah.
In some ways. I'm not trying to diss the podcast. We both love the podcast, but I think it surprised us both.
And yeah, that's it was why out
the
of
issue
character
caught
for
our
them.
Attention. Yeah, the issue caught our attention. And I think because it is something that makes people uncomfortable. It is. And that's, you know, we're not going to solve it here. All we want to do here is have imperfectly honest conversations about how we each feel. And then people can, as my mom used to say, put it in their pipe and smoke it. You know, that's probably something that shouldn't be, I don't know. Smoke. Yeah. It's just like, that's an old expression. You've heard it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You have great old expressions, many of which I've not heard, but I have heard that one.
Okay. And I use it probably more often than I should.
Oh, well. Well, I think the last thing that I want to say before jumping into how people can handle this situation is that I do think that there is some good that has come out of going backwards, as you say, from the pandemic. Speaking from my own personal experience, and which I just learned that the health effects of stress and also the health effects of isolation, as well as the health effects of wearing a mask all the time, I've realized personally that I don't feel well when I am breathing that carbon dioxide all day. And so, you know, I think for me, it's felt productive to learn how to balance the fact that you might have some contaminants every once in a while, but the other benefits of being in community and relieving stress are worth it. But I think the thing that I'm most hopeful about is that people will just be respectful of my wishes and my boundaries. And that I can also be respectful of their perspective too. You know, I grew up in a house where we just didn't think about it. And I had a lovely, well-balanced childhood. There's a possibility that all those contaminants that were in my house growing up did me no harm and maybe even strengthened my immune system. And so I respect people that believe that perspective and live that way. And I always wonder if the ongoing GI issues in particular that I've been trying to unwind for 20 years were exacerbated by, you know, not just the environment that I grew up in, but the absolutely disgusting homes that I lived in college, for instance, and things like that. You know, I don't know. I guess my biggest wish is balance and respect. And I'd love to talk a little bit about brainstorming ideas of how to deal with the challenge, unless there's anything else that you want to voice.
No, I think you encapsulated it. I feel this is not that this is not personal to me, but it's very personal to you. And that's why I wanted to hear how you would express that here. And I want to support that because I believe everything that you say. It's just, like I said, there are levels of the vehemence we feel about it.
Yeah.
So a lot of the articles did talk, which, you know, they're no-brainers. You know, if you have something to replace, you know, addressing the hole in the sock thing, you know, that will take care of some, as you say, you never know what's in that person's head who's saying, no, I don't want to take my shoes off. So that eliminates that segment of the population. Then there's a segment that just doesn't like to be told what to do, no matter where they are.
Yeah.
And I don't know how you address that. Like, you probably have that challenge in your relationship with them and other things too, not just coming into your home. So, and then there's the segment. And again, just want to briefly allude, because it was in a lot of the articles. Of course, it always comes to mind. The segment that it's part of their outfit. And that was a Sex in the City episode with Carrie, where, you know, they asked her to take her shoes off. And she's like, but this is my outfit. It's like, you're essentially, no pun intended at all, cutting somebody off at the knees. It's like, some people, that's why they don't want to take their shoes off. And I don't know the solution to that.
It kind of depends on the situation. I think it's harder if someone's stopping by spontaneously. But if you're inviting people to your home for a gathering and you want them to take their shoes off, then you could have fun with it. I went to this party one time and we got a note ahead of time that they wanted us to take off our shoes because they had just installed new wood floors that were kind of impressionable. And so they created this contest of who could have the best slippers to wear to this party. I thought it was really cute. And it actually was fun. They like handed out an award and made fun of it. You know, that doesn't quite work with contamination issues because people are bringing their slippers to have been.
Yeah, you don't know where they wore those slippers. Yeah.
The lesson that I took from there is, one, letting people know ahead of time, and two, just having fun about it. Mm-hmm. Somebody told me that they asked people to wear shoes that they provide in their home. And so they have 50 pairs of really funny slippers.
Right, well, I don't know if most people could go that far, different sizes.
Well, fine, but still, I think just the principle of that is like thinking about how you can have fun with it. I have these UFOs sandals that are machine washable. So I really like those. They're clogs actually. And I was thinking I could put funny stickers on them or something like that.
They actually, an article I read alluded to that footwear, that specific footwear, that people could purchase a fair amount in this whole washable slippery kind of thing. Yeah. If they're washable and you just make that initial investment and they're the kind of shoe wear that it's not, you know, it's not like a 7.5 is so different than an 8. The person who wears a size 6 couldn't fit in a size 9, but you don't have to have every single size, half size, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh.
So another idea is, I actually know this guy who is a professor, and he teaches about how to prevent disease spreading contaminants through sanitation. And so he's dedicated his entire life to contamination. And I asked him what he does in his home. And he said that if it's just someone coming over, that he provides shoes for them. But if he's having a party, as soon as everybody leaves, he immediately mops the floor and he uses UV sanitation to sanitize the room. And I thought, like, oh, that actually feels easy and is a good solution. But then I realized that I have carpet. So I don't know. The lesson that I learned there is that I think that there's potential there. And this might be extreme, but I have realized that I actually really hate carpet and will never, ever put carpet down unless I have to. So I think I'm going to take that approach going forward to have hard floors.
And again, this is what this conversation is. It's acknowledging, as you said it, it's like there's pros and cons to each position. You don't want to be lonely. You don't want to feel isolated. So you want to come up with a compromise that can make you feel more comfortable, can make other people feel more comfortable. And then you move on to another issue that you have to figure out. So,
and then what I'm going to do right now with my current situation, because I have carpet and I'm still, still kind of working through my OCD. So it's causing more distress than I would like, is I'm just going to be honest about it. And, you know, I have these shoes and I'm going to say, I realize this is an unusual request. And depending on the situation, I may or may not say that I have OCD. I'm going to try to actually do that as much as possible because I think it's helpful to spread awareness about that.
Yeah.
to just say, you know, I have OCD and it's something that I'm working on, and thinking about all the things that get dragged into my house that might be on the bottom of people's feet as they're walking in mm-hmm. other spaces causes a lot of distress for me. So right. I'm wondering if you'd be willing to wear these shoes while you're in the house.
Right. Right. And maybe a solution would be, you don't have to do that every single time, depending on the pushback. Like, you may have people who you bring in and you, like, you can say, I'm a shoes free environment. And that's another thing that these articles said. You want to give people a heads up a lot of the time. Mm. And so then it's like levels. It's like, okay, this person's like, fine, I'll take my shoes off, I'll put that on. And then you don't have to get into the whole, you know, it's because of the environment, you know, because then they're agreeing. They don't feel like they need to get the long version. They can get the short mm-hmm. version. There are people who may need the long version. And it's actually a good learning lesson, because depending on how long the lesson has to be and how much of a pushback there is, it's, you kind of reevaluate again, like I said a little while ago, like, if that's their personality, they're not going to just confine it to whether they wear shoes in your house.
Yeah.
It's not that huge of an issue. If it is, then they have their own issues.
Well, but I'm also just going to try to have some empathy for the other side. I mean,
just to add this part of it, because I am of a more advanced age, I will not just wear a sock or even just walk around in like what is not a substantial slipper in my apartment anymore. Because I do walk around, I'm doing it right now. I have shoes that are my indoor sneakers that I don't wear out, because I feel like I want that support, because I'm more mindful of the fact it's like one trip away from really impacting on my life a lot, and or one slip away. So I just wanted to put that can be in there too. As people age, they may not want to remove their shoes because it's a struggle to walk around in something that's not that substantial. And I'm not saying go out and buy like orthopedic shoes for people, whatever. I mean, it doesn't have to be that substantial. I think the article I read, it said, if you can bend it in half, it's probably not substantial enough.
Yeah,
you know, because you're not running around. I mean, you're just walking in somebody's house. You know, you're not doing like races up and down the hall, are you?
Right. Well, going back to giving people a heads up, especially if it's a gathering of some sort, because mm-hmm. some people are embarrassed of their feet or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm. Sometimes I have on many occasions worn two different socks that did not match my outfit, even remotely, because I was in a hurry. So,
and just to add, because I always have to interject my, you know, popular culture, and I know you have not watched this show, but Succession, that was pretty popular. So I think a lot of people listening had an episode where they were going on a yacht. You had to be barefoot. And one of the guys was like, my toes are horrible. And he ends up getting a manicure. I mean, they brought the person because, I mean, they were rich enough. That's the show. But it was just like somebody could be extremely embarrassed by their toe situation, their nails, you know? I mean, we don't need to explore this anymore because the visuals I'm having right now, I don't want to have anymore.
Well, on that note, this might mm-hmm. be a good time to just close it out. I feel like
I think so. Yeah.
Run the gamut here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good talking to you.
Well, Sheila, thanks as always.
Until next time. The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. Note that, notwithstanding that any of the guests on this podcast may be licensed professionals, no one on this podcast is providing or seeking to provide the listeners of this podcast with any medical or health services. You should not rely on the information or content presented during this podcast, and you should not make any health or medical related decision based in whole or in part on such information. Consult a healthcare professional licensed in your state for all matters relating to your health, and do not disregard any medical advice, diagnosis, and/or treatment provided by your healthcare professional. This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests, and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. In sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of the people involved.